Okay. Thank you, Rabbi Prince. Thank you so much. Really great to be here. My relationship with Minot goes way back. The first year before any of you were born, crazy to say, my father was the basketball coach. So I was a diehard Minot's Rapid fan. Knew all the stats, knew all the players, really locked in. So really, really way, way back. The relationship stems way back. Great to be here. I know many of your Rebbeim, your teachers, just tremendous people, incredible mechanchim, incredible educators, role models, and you're all very blessed to be here to learn this wonderful place. I'm going to present to you two options, two scenarios, and in your mind, you're the judge. You be the judge. Which course of action is more desirable? What's greater? What's more noble, more illustrious? Scenario number one, you go with your buddies, your friends to the city, you're on the subway, you get off the station, and unfortunately, you locate somebody, a homeless person, in terrible condition. Terrible. The clothing is tattered, disheveled, freezing, it's the burr of the winter. Terrible situation. And you feel so bad. And you say to yourself, you know what? I'm in the zone. I'm going to go for it. You take out your checkbook, and you write a fresh check, $1,000. And you hand it to this homeless person, made their day, month, year. This could spiral out of control. An incredible, righteous, noble deed. Scenario number one. Scenario number two is, you live in this city, and every single time you see a homeless person or a poor person, you drop a dollar in the box, you drop another dollar in the box, you drop another dollar in the box, a few a day, a few during the week. This goes on for a few months. At the grand sum of it all, the total is, you give $1 to 1,000 different people. Every single time you find somebody poor, underprivileged, in need, you drop a dollar off, you drop a dollar off. So my question for everybody today is, you be the judge, keep this question in the back of your mind, what's greater? Is it greater to give $1,000 to one person, make their day, make a difference, the tide for the best, the tide's going to turn? Or perhaps, is it better to give $1 to 1,000 different people, consistent, day in and day out? Which one's more noble, more illustrious? Keep the question in the back of your mind. We now go to the beginning of Parshas Vayera, where we see the incredible action of Avram and Sarah Imenu. Incredible hospitality. 8 psukim dedicated in the Torah. They give the angels the works, the taster's menu. A little bit of water, cream, milk, meat, gevaldik, it's geschmack, it's everything you want. They give them everything you want. It's delicious. The filet mignon, anything you want, they give them. It's the whole package, the taster's menu. And the Torah goes, pasuk, after pasuk, after pasuk. The question is, why do we have such a great emphasis on this story? Why does the Torah dedicate 8 psukim to this episode? The Torah spares no words. Not one word, not one syllable, letter is superfluous. Nothing's extra. Why is the Torah dedicating 8 psukim? Water, meat, this, that, running back and forth, getting Sarah involved, Yishmael involved. Why do we have such an emphasis on this episode? And to strengthen our question, later on in the Parsha, the Pasuk says, Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva. Avram planted an Eshel in Be'er Sheva. Rashi explains, what does that mean? He planted an Eshel. It means he had an inn for lodging, a place to sleep, and all types of food were there. Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu were constantly involved in Chesed. A nice little resort, all the delicacies, all the amenities that you want. They had it all. It was a beautiful shop that they set up. So the question is, why are we emphasizing the story at the beginning of Vayera with the angels? They were constantly involved in Chesed. They were always giving out Chesed, their hearts and their souls, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Why does the Torah place this incredible emphasis? And we read it year in and year out. Think about that question as well. The Pasuk of Micha tells us, Titein emes liYaakov, Chesed leAvram. Give truth to Yaakov and Chesed to Avram. Avram Avinu was the pillar of Chesed. He was the pillar of Chesed. And one of my Rebbeim of Konigsberg, the Rosh Yeshiva in YU, he makes a distinction, as do others. There's a distinction. There are different levels of Chesed. One level of Chesed is, at a high level, you give to somebody. You give to them. You help them out. You alleviate their emotional need, their emotional distress. And you want to help them. You want to give to them. And it's a beautiful thing. But in reality, you're responding to their difficult situation. You're alleviating their needs, their dire straits. It's very nice, but in reality, that's rachmanus, or rachmanut, as they probably say here. It's mercy. It's compassion. Very nice. What's the next level? When we need to give. a burning desire to give. I want to give more. I want to give more, more, and more. It's part of my every essence. It's every fiber of my being running through my blood, running through my soul. I need to give. I can't function without it. It's my oxygen. It's my lifeline. I need to give more and more and more. I can't live without it. That is true chesed. That's the level we should all, Bezrat Hashem, aspire to. And that's exactly what the Navi again Micha says. He give lecha adam, ma tov, ma Hashem doresh mimcha. What's good? What does Hashem demand of you? Don't we want to know this today with so many messages always going out there? What does God want from me? It's right there. Kim asos mishpat v'avas chesed. Perform justice and love to do chesed. Notice very carefully, when it talks about justice, we need to perform it. We need to do our best. We need to do diligence in the legal system. We need courts. We need witnesses. We need a process. You have to do justice. But when it comes to chesed, the prophet says so powerfully for all time, avas chesed. We need to love to do it, not just perform it, not just a check, not just to be yotze this, to be putter this. We need to say, I love it. I'm excited. I'm passionate. I'm burning to give. It needs to be an avas chesed. And that's exactly the Gemara in Shabbos. Shekein darchu shogomel chasadim. What's the way of those who perform chesed? La roots achar dalim. They run after the dalim, those that are underprivileged. They don't just sit idly by. They need to run to do it. They need to help. You're at the pantry today. Run to package at the JCC, wherever you went. La roots. It can't just be sitting by. It has to be an energy overtaking you. They run. They run. They run. Any opportunity. Running, running. That's chesed. La roots. It's running. It's zrizus with alacrity, with a passion. I want to share with you a very powerful story. At this time, it's probably come a little more well-known. None other delivered by Howard Schultz at Columbia's business school graduation. We're all grateful to Howard Schultz, definitely during finals time, as he was the founder of what? Founder of what?
Money.
Okay. Founder of Starbucks. Founder of Starbucks. He was the founder of Starbucks, Howard Schultz. And he told the following story at the Columbia Business School graduation. He, along with a group of very wealthy businessmen, had a private audience with Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel was the Rosh Yeshiva of which yeshiva? 0-2. Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there. Wake up, girls. Of the Mir. The Mir. The Mir in Yerushalayim. He was the great Rosh Yeshiva. Chicago born, went to Ida Crown, maybe you heard of that, high school, center fielder, went a different path. So he became the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, tremendous tzaddik, had hundreds if not thousands of students that he cared for, fathered, loved, supported, everything in between. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, unfortunately, had a very severe case of Parkinson's. So whenever he spoke, he would shake violently, out of control. He had terrible episodes of shaking and uncontrollable, he could not get it together. They say he refused to take medicine, so it wouldn't impact his mental capacity. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. The businessmen come in the private audience with the Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Very wealthy, prestigious businessmen. He says, gentlemen, I know you don't have so much time. Please tell me the lesson of the Holocaust. Everybody's a little startled. So one person very shyly raises a hand and says, we will never forget. Wrong. Everybody gets a little nervous. The next person, very shyly, sheepishly, raises their hand. You, what's the lesson of the Holocaust? We will never again be a bystander. Wrong. Now, as Howard Schultz related, everybody's very nervous, very anxious. Don't call on me, right? We're back in fourth and fifth grade, ducking away from the teacher, avoiding any eye contact. What's the lesson of the Holocaust, gentlemen? Everybody's speechless, flabbergasted, nothing to respond. He says, gentlemen, I'll tell you. When we got to the concentration camps, the Germans, Yimach Shemam, would separate everybody with dogs and sticks and intimidation. Horrifying scene. Men and women separated, fathers from their sons, women from their daughters, and we were sent to the barracks in the freezing cold, ice cold conditions. Each person, one person, was given a blanket and they said, share it with five other people. At this point, we had a decision. Did that one person keep the blanket to him or herself, keep warm, stay alive in that Gehenna? Or did he pass the blanket to five other people? At that moment, said Rav Nosson Tzvi, we saw the power of the human spirit because we took the blanket and we passed it to five other people. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel said, gentlemen, get up. Go back to America, take your blanket, and push it to 5 other people. That's chesed. Even when it's challenging, difficult, it entails self-sacrifice, we give. We push the blanket to others. We give to others. We're selfless, always looking for opportunities to give and to give. And says the Kilas Yitzchak to our second question, why is this episode emphasized and highlighted with the angels? Says the Kilas Yitzchak, this story demonstrated true chesed. Avram Avinu was 99 years old. Third day of Bris Milah. Excruciating pain. Terrible suffering. He had every reason to say, I'm off. Take the day off. Relax. It's all good. Sleep. Rest. Recuperate. He was pained that nobody was there. He needed to see guests. He had to. So Hashem sent Malachim in the form of men to visit him. Because he needed to. That's why the Torah emphasizes, this is chesed. No matter the situation, no matter the time, the need, we need to do it. Burning desire, passion to give, excited to give, emotionally need to give. That's why this story was selected. Eliezer, who was the trusted servant of Avram, was given the awesome responsibility of finding a wife for Yitzchak. And of course he identified Rivka. And these psukim tell us the famous story of Rivka Imenu in Chayisara. Eliezer ran towards her and said, let me please sip a little water from your jug. Vatomer, and she said, Shtei Adoni, drink, my lord. Vatimaher, she hurried. Vatorid Kadal Yada, she lowered her jug to her hand. Vatashkeu, and she gave him a drink. She gave him a drink of water. Vatachalashkoto, when she finished giving him drink, Vatomer, Gam Ligmalecha Eshov. I'm going to even give water for your camels until they have finished drinking. Parenthetically, there's a beautiful Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The sequence of the psukim. Not only did she do chesed, she did it with a sensitivity, with a cheshbon, with a reckoning. Why didn't she say right away, I'm going to give you water, and I'll give your camels water? Why'd she wait till he finished drinking? The Or HaChaim said she was sensitive to the nth degree. If she would have said originally, I'll give you water and your camels water, Eliezer would have said, oh my goodness, she's given us everything. She's providing everything for us. He would have felt bad about the burden that he was causing her. So he would have gulped the water down so then she could proceed with the camels. But she didn't want that to happen. She preempted that thought. She let him drink and he thought, ah, she's just providing for me. And he was able to drink calmly, comfortably, sip by sip, relax after a long journey. Because he thought she was only providing for him. He got to drink beautifully and with Yishuv Adas and very, very calmly. Only after he finished, he said, I'll also give for your camels. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rivka demonstrated, when we do chesed, not just to do it, but to think about the other person's feelings and their sensitivities and sensibilities. Back to the story. Vatimaher, she hurried, and she emptied her jug into the shoket. Vataratz odel be'er, and she kept running to the well to draw water. Lishov, vatishav l'chol gmalav. She drew for all the camels. She ends up drawing water for all the camels. Rav Pesach Kron and many other Bali Musar point out, imagine this scene. Eliezer's a big dude, buff, he's gavalt, he's strong, he was Avraham's companion in war. And you have Rivka, this little girl, gutting pitcher after pitcher, jug after jug, and to feed, to drink, for camels to drink is exhaustive. They drink a lot, it's been a long journey. Imagine the scene, he's this big dude just sitting there, little girl's going, more pitcher, more jug, more jug. He doesn't even lift a finger. He doesn't even say anything. What should have Rivka said? Excuse me, I'm drawing water for all your camels, and he came with a big entourage. Maybe you could help me a little? Maybe you could lift a finger? Maybe you should get off the hammock? We don't see a word. So Rav Pesach Kron, that's Rivka Imenu. That's true chesed. Without any thoughts, ulterior motives, agenda, she wanted to give. She had a burning desire to give. And it didn't matter the circumstance. She needed to give. And that's who her entire being was. That's Rivka Imenu. That's what made her the appropriate matriarch of the Jewish people. And now to conclude, some of you might be thinking, not at Mayanot, because you're all tzaddikim and amazing people, but some of you might be thinking, perhaps, this is very nice. It's not me. It's not me. Those are the girls that are on the chesed committee. Those are the girls, the rah-rah. They're the ones that sign up. They're the ones that cross the old ladies across the street, friendship circle. They're the ones that wish chesed day was every day, but actually love it, not to miss class. They really love it. That's not me. I'm sorry. That's what some of us may be thinking. Those, we all know those girls or those guys. Those are the chesed people. What do you want from me? It's not in me. It's not in my blood. Brings us back to our first question. Is it better to give 1 to 1,000 or 1,000 to 1? Says the Rambam, the Halakha of Maimonides, his commentary on the third parak of Pirkei Avos, it's more noble to give $1 to 1,000 different people. Why? Because by giving 1,000 times over and over and over again, it becomes part of your essence. You become a giver. He calls it a kinyan chazak, a strong acquisition. Time and time again, repeated efforts, repeated display of compassion and sensitivity, you become a giver. You become a giver. It takes practice. It takes habit. It takes rote. Time and time again, if we give and give and give, you become a giver, says the Rambam. That's why 1 to 1,000. If you give 1,000 to 1, it's a beautiful thing. But that inspiration will dissipate, will fleet away. It will just be here then, gone tomorrow. 1 to 1,000, we become a giver. We become a giver. And says the Sefer Achinuch, Achareya pa'ulos nimshachim alavavos. After the action, the heart is drawn. After the action, the heart is drawn. What does that mean? If we keep doing it, if we keep doing it, our hearts could become on fire. Our hearts could be excited for it. We keep doing chesed, we keep doing chesed, our hearts will be activated, we'll be excited. We'll be so fired up to do it. We'll love it. We'll be inspired, motivated with tremendous alacrity. So Be'ezrat Hashem, the opportunities are always endless. That's the way Hashem made this world. It could be helping our friends. It could be helping our siblings, our parents, our community, Eretz Yisrael, Jewish community, the world at large. It's never a question of opportunities. Question is, will I be willing to give? And the hope and dream is, that Hashem tells us, to follow in the footsteps of Avram and Sarah and Rivka and the many others that preceded us. If we give and give and continue to give, Be'ezrat Hashem will become part of who we are and will truly love to give chesed on a daily basis. Thank you all very much.